Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before.
Better.
Better.
Stronger.
Stronger.
Faster.
Faster.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on the Drew Marshall Show, I'd like to welcome Steve Austin, all the way from Oscar Goldman's lab.
A man barely alive.
A man barely alive. Steve, how you doing, buddy? Dude, you grew up with Steve Austin as a name, and you must have predicted the fact that we were going to start our segment with you with that song. You knew that was going to happen.
You know what? I did. As many times as people have made the joke, no one has ever introed me with that. That was freaking awesome.
Thank you.
How funny.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a new segment on the Drew Marshall Show, and this segment we like to call the Pub Crawl, because we kind of crawl from topic to topic and chat about a bunch of different things. We try to find some interesting people, but we couldn't find any, so on the show today... Mr. Steve Austin, who is a writer guy. He writes stuff. I mean, what's the best way to describe yourself?
Yeah, I'm a family man first. I used to be a writer first, and I finally got my priorities in order, and I'm a husband and a dad first. But I am a writer and a speaker and a mental health advocate, and thrilled to be here.
Good, good. The website is IamSteveAustin.com. I love it. IamSteveAustin.com. He writes about the messiness of grace, finding Christ in the midst of mental illness, the struggles with childhood trauma, and the ordinary, powerful ways God heals us. He also complains about how it sucks to be a Christian right now, but he's doing it anyway. Love it. That's a great bio. Also on the show today, Mr. David Peck. We call him our social justice guru. He is a Canadian international development consultant, public speaker, and writer who is active in the academic, entertainment, and international development sectors. He is the founder of So Change, a regular contributor to Rabble.ca. I don't think I've ever been to Rabble.ca.
Oh, come on. Well, it's about time you get there.
I need to get there.
Yeah, you do.
Our first topic today in the Pub Crawl with David Peck and Steve Austin is, would you have a problem with someone who may feel like a natural woman but is biologically a man using the ladies' room or vice versa? Hashtag boycott Target has reached well over 500,000 signatures. They're on their way to a million if they haven't sort of done that by today. After Target recently announced that transgender customers may use the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. Of course, the American Family Association then announced the boycott, saying Target's policy is exactly how sexual predators get access to their victims. Target's dangerous new policy poses a danger to wives and daughters. We'll go with you, David Peck, first. Your immediate reaction to that?
My immediate reaction is bollocks,
right,
in a sense, because I want to know what the real question is and what really is this all about. Is this really about sexual predators, or is it really about people just being offended by something that they're not comfortable with? Is it making them, you know, push the boundaries of their backgrounds, their upbringings, et cetera?
Right.
Is it really about sexual predators? Because I think there's probably, if that's true, there's probably ways of actually attending to that in a myriad of ways, and this, you know, signing a document, a petition for something like this against Target may not be one of them.
Right. Okay, so Steve Austin, you're the American. What's your reaction to all of this?
Well, you know, you can use the stall next to me. Just use your own. I don't care what you got hanging between your legs or don't have. that's my gut reaction. I was molested as a kid, and it didn't happen in a public restroom at a retail store. It was the neighbor next door who knew my family well. And that's the common story. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, do you have a right to weigh in on this conversation then.
I was thrilled to see this as a question.
Yeah. Well, see...
Well, it's becoming a lot more of an issue. You know, I teach at a couple different schools, and we're seeing it up in the hallways now, right? This idea that this is something that you need to get comfortable with.
What do you mean you're seeing it in the hallways?
Well, posters of just, you know, you see posters about any number of different things that are sort of connected to the social justice.
I'm so glad you clarified. I didn't know what you were seeing in the hallways.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was confused about what you were seeing in the hallways.
No, you know, just sort of, you know, student education, right? Yeah. Just this is something to look for.
So when I read this this line from Targan, and Tim, I want you to weigh in on this as well as
yes,
a teacher
sir.
Who's spent a lot of time in the hallways because you're not a good teacher. here's the quote. Target's policy is exactly how sexual predators get access to their victims. There's a part of me that doesn't buy that. Could it happen? Sure, but I'm not sure that this is exactly how sexual predators get access to their victims. Number two, it also then defaults into, oh, so what you're saying is, and I got to be careful because we all have these sort of sucky overreactions to this kind of, oh, what you're saying is like Hitler? You know, that kind of stuff comes out of people's mouths, although not in this context.
I can't believe you played the Hitler.
I know, exactly, right? That's the thing. So people say, well, just because you're LGBT does not mean you're going to molest children. That's ridiculous. They use the same – I just sounded like Porky Pig there.
Yeah.
They use the same argument in the priest stuff, you know, if you're gay priest, and you're going to go – it's so much more diverse and complicated than this. And then on to the next sentence, Target's dangerous new policy poses a danger to wives and daughters. I'm sorry, but is that not hidden misogyny?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not even hidden?
We're just talking to a gentleman who was molested, and he's a man. You know, he's neither wife nor daughter.
I just, there's so much wrong about whoever their PR department is, how they crafted that sentence is a gong show.
And where is it? And where is this coming out of?
The American Family Association. Which kind of explains it all right there. What do you know being an
Did
American?
Did you just wash up on the shore there, Steve?
Yeah, Steve. There's all these sound effects happening. You must be in Tornado Alley or something.
You know what? I'm sorry. It is burning up hot here. I did pull over, but I am sitting in my car. It is so humid in Alabama, you lucky Canadians.
So do you not? They have this feature in cars these days. It's called air conditioning. Do you have that?
That's what's on.
Well, and if you're humid in the car, you've got on the wrong setting.
Yes, wrong setting. Look, I think the – let's just play this through just for a second here. I want to always personalize this. If I'm in the restroom, because we got four guys talking about this issue. If I'm in the restroom and somebody that that looks suspiciously – I don't know. I look at them and go, are you a man or are you a woman? I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Comes in. I don't know if they – okay, let's say they maybe might feel a little more feminine. It doesn't really – I don't get weirded out by that.
No.
If there's a – but this is guys. I think guys don't freak out when women are in the bathroom, but women could freak out when men are in the bathroom. Is that sexist or truth? Tim?
I am not able to comment on that since I'm a man.
But would you freak out if there's a woman in the bathroom?
I've been in situations at concerts where women – a little uncomfortable. I guess I leaned a little closer into the urinal, but other than that,
right.
I just kept going.
See, I only worry about the stink at that point in time. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
What about in other cultures where we're not even talking about bathrooms? We're just talking about, you know, using your surroundings.
Right.
You know, are you all of a sudden vulnerable to others and so on? And in some cases, actually, you are.
Right.
I mean, it's a real issue. But I think, I don't know. I think what the heart of this is the question should be about exclusion. This is inclusion and exclusion. This is what's really gets under my skin about these kinds of issues.
So are you saying we finally, just like in the past when we got rid of blacks-only bathrooms, we're finally at a point now where it's going to get genderless? Is it going to – are bathrooms going to become genderless?
Yeah, probably not. But I think maybe they're going to have to become a little more inclusive, whatever that means exactly. And maybe we are going to have to unpack this. And this is what I mean about the posters being up in the hallways at school, saying to kids, saying to adults, things are changing.
Right.
They're not going to be the way they always were before. And for crying out loud, you're going to have to get a little more comfortable with that.
Steve, I want to make sure you have a gap. Go ahead. If anything popping into your brain?
Man, you know, I'm there. I don't use the urinal. It is it's a little bit of a, I guess you could say, PTSD for me. I don't use the urinal. I don't care if there's two open urinals and both stalls are used. I don't use. It freaks me out. I don't want somebody, you know, looking over the half wall, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just part of the that.
Is that going to be the title of your autobiography, Steve? Looking over the half wall.
Yeah.
You're right. It could. But yeah, I use the stall. I lock the door. And if you do the same, we're good. I don't care. Like I said, your equipment's not important to me. If there's a, you know, we've all been, I think, in the bathroom at some point when a dad has brought his little girl in because he can't send her into the bathroom by herself, or vice versa. We've been the little boy that's had to go in the ladies' room with our mom,
good memories.
You know, as a little kid, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's much ado about nothing, really.
Well, Steve, aren't you now asking a question about parenting, really?
Yeah,
too?
But hold on. No,
that's a whole other question,
we are polluting
right?
this conversation with... with
polluting? You really want to use the word
we are.
Polluting?
We are polluting okay. this conversation with the innocence of a child's mind or exposing a child to, you know, opposite gender stuff. And I'm not sure that's considered wrong or abusive. I guess some would argue with me on that. I'm talking about a bathroom filled with women and a guy comes in who looks like a guy but feels like a woman. I'm telling you right there, I don't know. Certainly we should have a woman on this panel discussion, but from all the women I know and have spoken to about this issue, yeah, that would be an issue for them. Hmm. And so are they bad? Are they evil? Do they not have rights? How does this get resolved?
No, they're not bad. They're not evil. They do have rights. You know what? I am anti-pedophile all day long. But when we lump them together and we put homosexual, transgender, whatever, all in that same boat, man, we're missing it. So, yeah, I'm anti-pedophile. Lock them up, throw away the key. That's fine. But you can't just say that because you're transgender, because you look like a dude and feel like a chick, that you're evil and I should be scared of you. It's all fear. It all goes back. It starts with ignorance. It goes to fear. It becomes hatred, and it ends in violence.
Whoa. That's pretty heavy there, Gandhi.
Sound like Yoda.
Period.
Yeah. Or Gandhi.
Period.
Or Yoda. Yeah. Wow. Well, I still think that we are in a really interesting time in our culture, in our society, and I still think that this is a very unresolvable issue until we put a genderless bathroom. So if you're a male and you know you're male and there's a male bathroom, you go to the male bathroom. If you're a female and you know you're female, you go to the female bathroom. If you are it transitioning from one to the other, that's a confusing time for everybody. You got to admit that. If you're the person and you're transitioning right now, you can't expect the world to go, oh, I totally understand. Because how long did it take for you to understand? So do we then have, bathrooms that you know, we accommodate them? We've got to build three types of bathrooms. I don't know. Is that an unrealistic thing to do, David?
Maybe architecturally.
Financially.
Financially, maybe it is, but I'm not convinced that it's unreasonable to ask certain schools or certain places of worship or certain places where people gather, the Royal Ontario Museum, these kinds of things that tend to be publicly funded,
right.
Typically, to ask them to be a tiny bit more inclusive.
Tim, any comment on this at all? Because you're Mr.
He's
politically correct,
he's
liberal, tree-hugging, love-everybody kind of guy. You're more like Jesus than me.
Yeah, I know that. yes. When it comes to number four, I'm number one. Sorry, anagram reference.
Oh.
I think for me, and this is, once again, it's sexist. It's maybe just my complete lack of knowledge. But it's almost like, you know, if anybody's worried about exposure being seen, someone looking at you and staring at you in a bathroom, it's almost like the female bathroom is the safest of the two because, generally speaking, all the toilet facilities are in cubicles. The guys are the ones who are, quote-unquote, exposed more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, once again, why it was just women and girls were the ones who were most threatened. I think that, you know, yes, there may be a few people that will use this transgender thing as an excuse maybe to take that particular direction. But my guess is anybody who is a pedophile or has that sort of bent in their mind is going to do this regardless. I don't think that this is going to make it any, you know, a huge difference.
All right. Well said.
Tempest in a teacup.
Not really. Horribly said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Want to let everyone know Steve Austin's on the phone with us. His website is iamsteveaustin.com. Here's some of the things he has written about in the past. You may want to go to his site and have a read. How I found healing from abuse. Is your faith water or cement? What if the prodigal son had Xanax? the Holy Spirit, comforter, or crazy cousin. I'm not the judge nor jury. I'm called to love the psych ward and the church. On Super Tuesday, I didn't just become a Democrat. I became my own person. It really sucks to be a Christian right now. It goes on. What was my email to you? Dude, I need to have you on the show. I mean, you just are really a fascinating writer, and I'm glad you're finally on the show. Thank you, Steve.
Drew, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I hate that, you know, the trees falling on the houses and all that stuff kept me from being on before.
Yeah, he was booked. We were going to get him on one show, and all of a sudden we had that big ice storm, and things were squirrely, and we were going to talk, and anyway, it didn't work. All right, let's move on to something a little more, I don't know, lighter, shall we say?
How's the temperature there, Steve?
Yeah, you doing all right, buddy? You passed out yet?
It's 85. I'm dying. But it's okay. I'm so glad to be here.
All right.
Sorry, it's 84. I lied.
Okay, well then, suck it up. Bono thinks Christian music sucks.
Amen.
As in, it's shallow and dishonest. Do you agree? Here's the background on this one, folks. Bono was chatting with theologian Eugene Peterson in the newly released documentary The Psalms, or as some people like to call them, The Psalms. The lead singer of U2 said this. The psalmist, the guy who wrote the Psalms, is brutally honest about the explosive joy that he's feeling and the deep sorrow or confusion. And I often think, gosh, well, why isn't church music more like that? Bono goes on to say that he hopes this documentary might, quote, inspire people who are writing these beautiful gospel songs to write a song about their bad marriage, write a song about how they're TO'd or PO'd, depending on how you'd like to say that, at the government. Because that's what God wants from you, the truth. And that truthfulness will bring things apart. Sorry, will blow things apart. Why I'm suspicious of Christians, Bono says, is because of this lack of realism. And I'd love to see more of that in art, in life, and in music. So, Tim, I know this is a hobby horse for you.
Yeah.
What say you?
Oh, I completely agree with him, and I've been on this hobby horse for quite a long time. The Christian music industry is just insipid and moronic and caters to the lowest common denominator, and I don't think it does anything for anybody. I think Jesus goes, oh, really? No, come on. He's a little more backbeat. Come on.
Can you imagine Jesus putting his fingers in his ears going, la, 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 la.
I can't hear you.
Okay, so is it really about the music? Are we talking melody here, or are we talking lyrics?
All
Bono,
of the above.
Bono's talking
above.
Purely
yeah, Bono's
lyrics.
Talking lyrics.
He's talking lyrics.
Tim and I are talking
message.
Both.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But Bono wants transparency. He wants humanity. He wants authenticity. He wants that, which he equates with truth. I think I'm on that island with him.
Sure.
And if you got one person in the room who wrote some of these songs, they'd probably, oh, yeah, I agree with you. But then they kind of cater to some degree.
Right, because we're talking
right?
about corporate
about
worship,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
when you get a 600 people together yeah. singing a song, do you want 600 people going, na, 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 my marriage sucks.
Well, I wonder what he
my
would say.
My kids are butts.
Do you guys sing that on Sundays? Yeah. It's very
right.
Yeah.
So
it's touching.
So as a corporate worship scenario, yeah. you gotta vanillify it. You gotta go, you're my all in all, you're my everything, you're my boyfriend, Jesus, I love you, I'll do everything
oh,
for
man.
You. Right? I mean, what do you think there, Steve Austin?
You know, I wrote a piece, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. I don't remember the title. That's how important it was. But I wrote a piece about the five types of Jesus in Christian music. And we talk about boyfriend Jesus and stalker Jesus and a few others.
And,
yeah, man. You know, in the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only
I'll
for
be
you.
Watching
like, that is
you.
Stalker freaking Jesus. It scares the crap out of me. So, yeah, man, I am with this all day long. Shameless plug for my buddy Drew Hale, who just won this huge music competition in Nashville. He's going to be the next big thing. And he just sent me a video of a song he wrote about Jesus and tills. And I bawled my eyes out listening to it. And I can't tell you the last time I have done that listening to a song. But he talked about Jesus. He talked about a struggle with pills. And it was amazing.
I want to bring up an example here. Here's a song called Burn For You. We're not going to play it, but there's a lyric in this song. All right, this is a song Jesus people sing in the church, and it goes a little something like this. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, at any cost for you, my king, as long as you provide bling. So this song is demonstrative of the many Christian worship songs that overpromise on what we undoubtedly underdeliver. Essentially, a willingness to trust God with abandon. So, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything at any cost for you, my king. These kind of things, these kind of songs drive me mental. Now, there's the category we just talked about, the oh, Jesus, you're my boyfriend songs, right? Oh, I love you, and you're, you know, we get all Hallmarky on Jesus. And then there's these ones where we say, he's my all in all. Well, he's not my all in all. I might have a moment or two in a year where I go, whoa, wow. And I kind of hunker down into the reality of what Jesus is all about. But he ain't my all in all. David?
Preach that.
Well, I think the line that Bono said, he wants, what is it? He's talking about the lack of realism in art, life, and music. And that, for me, has been a drum that I've been beating, just to carry out the metaphor here, for a long time, about the idea that you got to have that truth and authenticity and realism everywhere. And if it's everywhere, it's going to play out in the lyrics that you write, in the music that you sing, and how you hang out with people, whether it's on a Tuesday night at a Rotary meeting or Sunday morning at a church service, right? And that's what I think we're all dying for that.
I think the reason it's not happening is because we're afraid as Christians.
Well, back to your comment, Steve, I think a lot of what we do is motivated by fear. Or what we don't do, maybe more importantly, is motivated by fear. And fear of the other. Whoa, gee, what are you going to think of me if I actually admit to what Drew just admitted to? Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, I only feel that a couple times a year. Wow, really? Let's talk about that. And that's where I think the church has so fallen down for maybe a couple hundred years.
Sure. Let me throw this one out.
Yeah, you didn't even hear a word I said, did you?
Sure.
I'm
agreeing. So let me throw this out. This is a song called How He Loves. Here's the problem lyric.
Oh, God.
So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss.
Oh, I hate singing that song. Who's writing this stuff?
What? We sing it every other week, y'all. Every
every other week, y'all.
Okay, y'all is the best part of that, yes.
Y'all, we do.
Do you guys down there actually write songs? Jesus loves y'all? Yes, Jesus loves y'all.
Yeah, so what? It's plural you. What are you talking about?
What would Bono say about the older sort of, what about hymns, you know, the 100, the 5,
we
the
can't 600? Call them hymns.
Yeah, whatever they're called. Plunge
me
yeah,
the victory.
It's all about
somebody
spelling.
Plunge the toilet.
That's right.
What I want to do is I want to play a song from someone who I admire and have admired for many, many years because of his honesty and authenticity and transparency in his music. His name was Mark Hurd. He's been dead for over 20 years now, died of a heart attack a long, long time ago. But a lot of the old sort of Christian rockers, you know, back in the day that kind of they were formational in a lot of our lives, you know, the Randy Stone, Larry Normans, that kind of stuff. They would look at Mark Hurd and go, the dude was broke, he was honest, he was open. And here's an example. We'll play this just as we go out from this segment. But I want to read you the lyrics before we play this song, all right? So check this out. Let me ask you, Dave, if this one hits you a little better. This is called,
I've got a Mark Hurd story, actually.
This is called To See Your Face. Maybe not your face, but it's a generic thing, okay? All right.
Go.
If I ever get to see your face, so just right there. If I ever get to see your face, as opposed to all the Jesus songs going, I see your face, I love your face, I want to caress your face, baby Jesus, whatever. So here it goes. If I ever get to see your face, and if you will spare me, I know that my allegiance to the human race will not ensnare me. If I ever get to know your mind and I survive it, I'm sure that I will leave a way of life behind. I won't revive it. Lord, you know I need your love so bad, I hardly have the strength to take your hand. If I ever set to hear your voice and I can take it, I'm certain that I will listen to the better choice, and I will make it. Lord, you know I need your love so bad, I hardly even have the strength to take your hand. If I ever get to see your face, and if you will spare me, I know that my allegiance to the human race will not ensnare me. To me, that's desperational hope. That's an acknowledgement that God is God, like actually take your shoes off, Moses, God. Like, I can't look at your face, God. And then an acknowledgement that Mark is saying, I'm a human putz.
Well, there's a humility there.
Right.
There's an if statement there. I'm not even sure. And he's also saying, I'm not even sure at my bare bones level that this is actually even true, but I'm going to believe it anyway. And so that's remarkable. That's faith.
When was the last time you two churchgoers heard a song like that?
Easy.
You three. Maybe you still go to church.
You two sings it all the time.
Yeah. You two sings what all the time?
You two sings
they sing this stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So many people refer to a concert with you two as a church of a particular sort, for sure, without a doubt. Yep.
Well, Steve, I commission you to go amongst your fellow American churchgoers and find those who write worship music like Darlene Schick and the Hillsong.
She's an Aussie, though.
And the Hillsong, but they've infiltrated the States.
Oh, yes, of course, you're right.
And find all the Hillsongers out there, those with holy...
Wait. Did you just call Charlie Chuck a Nazi?
No.
An Aussie.
An Aussie.
Australian.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we like to make those extreme examples.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. We are worshiping you. Worship everybody. Come on, church.
Oh, man.
So great.
You know, every time you do a German impersonation, all I think of is Mel Brooks impersonating Hitler. He really took the mickey out of Hitler in the way he was impersonating Hitler in those movies that he did. Anyway, listen, Steve Austin, thank you very much. Can you do us a favor just before you go and promise me that you'll say hello to Jamie Summers for us? Jamie Summers, Google it. You'll see what I mean. Okay?
I will. Drew Marshall, I want to know where you've been all my life. I'm going to be listening. Like, this is so great. I had so much fun.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. That's the end of Pub Crawl 1. We have one more round of Pub Crawl coming up. But here's the song we were just talking about by Mark Hurd. Have a listen.
If I ever get to see your face, and if you spare me, I know that my allegiance to the human race will not ensnare me. And if I ever get to know your mind, and I survive it, I'm sure so bad.